Hey guys, Mario here. Welcome to my podcast. Hey, I'm just going to be straight up with you. I'm angry. That's nothing new. The other day, I'm having a conversation with some friends. Came up about the previous election. And, you know, everyone's carrying on about Donald Trump. Donald Trump's this, Donald Trump's that. And, honestly, I'm beyond it by now. You know, I'm over, you know, hearing people complain about it and, you know, bitch about it, nonstop bitching about Donald Trump doing that, Donald Trump's doing that. I said, well, what are you doing? You know, what are you doing for your life? You know, are you out trying to do anything to make your life better? Or are you just back watching CNN, Fox, and MSNBC and just trying to see what Donald Trump's doing? Because Donald Trump is doing whatever he wants to do, and what are you doing? You know, and then the conversation came up that you know they wish Hillary would have gotten elected. I said, man, I don't know that for your particular life it would have mattered one way or the other. And so that blew this particular individual away, that I would suggest that life with Donald Trump as the president would be similar to life with Hillary Clinton. Some big game changing situation there. You know, and she said, you know, brought up the Republicans, you know, they just want to take away, you know, all her benefits. Wait, a moment of pause there. The Republicans want to do what? They want to take away her benefits. Now, here's a woman who has two kids. Okay? She's got two kids. Every 8 months, she's got a different boyfriend. And she's collecting some unknown number of benefits, because I don't even know how it all works. I'll be honest with you guys. You know, I know that, you know, there's some food benefits and maybe some money involved. I don't know. You know, a tax cut, something. I don't know. But they're benefits. And in order to have them, she must earn under a certain amount of money. And my bet is, her, like many other individuals, are very determined to continue getting those benefits, hence her comment. And so if you're that determined to get those benefits, such that you're making your political selection based on which candidate is going to allow you to maintain those benefits, then I would venture to say that you're probably going to ensure that you're not gaining the level of income that disqualifies you for that benefit. And therein lies the problem. Therein lies the thing that upsets me. So as a person, you can sit back and say to yourself, self, I want these benefits, so, you know, I can't earn above this amount of money. Because if I earn above this amount of money, I'm going to lose these benefits. And if I lose these benefits, I may lose my job one day, and then what am I going to do then? I'm not sure. I'm not self-confident. I don't have belief in myself or my own abilities such that I am willing to risk losing these benefits and go out and achieve something higher. I mean, that is bothering. That is disgusting. I mean, I get it. You got kids. You got mouths to feed. Look, you got to struggle. Look, that's how life works. That's how life works. You got to be willing to fail in order to succeed. And that sounds like some kind of meme or a Facebook post or something like that. But that's legitimately how it works. You can't sit around and go for the safe road, the bare minimum safe road, and then look around at the world and be angry at rich people. You know, yeah, the world isn't fair. Yeah, the world isn't equal. I mean, people aren't all intelligent. People aren't all nice. And some of those unintelligent, unnice people control different parts of the world. And so, therefore, it's never going to be unfair. And when I say parts of the world, I don't mean like countries. I don't mean like you know, like leader of groups. I mean like the guy in the gas station you know, one of your students, one of your child's teachers, the guy you work next to. You know, different people in life influence different things. We all have little gears, little knobs, little buttons we can press that affects the world around us. And if we're angry, and if we're disappointed, or if we envy or dislike different people, or if we're ignorant and have a certain kind of philosophy, the way we live our life, we have the ability to affect the world around us. And unless someone's proposing that all of that can be fixed, then you should not propose that there's a way that everything can be fair, equal, and peace and justice to all. You know, it's not possible. It's not reasonable. And for me, a competitive individual, it's not desirable. I want there to be stupid people. That makes being intelligent rewarding. I want there to be angry people. That drives individuals. That motivates individuals. That also sets some individuals back because they can't control their anger. It causes them to do things. And so if I'm good, if I'm successful at controlling my emotions, then that there's another advantage for me. You know what? I'll tell you something else that upsets me. I live here in Atlanta, and they've built this, they're building this new stadium, the Mercedes-Benz Stadium, the Atlanta Falcons' new stadium. And, you know, I'll see like the post or some sort of progress photo of it and the comments beneath it. You know, they could have used that money to help so many of the homeless in the area. They could have done this. They could have done that. How many kids? How many families? So what you're suggesting is that we should have took that money and continue to create more benefits for you. Listen, the notion that there's no money in the black community, first of all, it's a joke. Okay, that's a joke. Okay, because if you went in to any black community, okay, just drove around and look around, okay, second to liquor stores, the thing you're gonna see, there are more churches, large, mega, beautiful, some small, some modest, but every Sunday and sometimes Saturday, there is services. A lot of those churches are hosting services on Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night. I mean, all different nights of the week. And at most of those services, they're collecting not one, not two, but three different collections where people are giving 10%, 2%, 5% of their money into the collection tray, that money going into a church. A church that is doing very, very little in most cases to bring about progress and bring about success in their community. If all of that money, if let's not say all of it, if half of the money that was put into the collection plates on Sundays in churches in America, in the African American communities, if half of that money was put instead of like a private school, or instead of like put into like investments for like creating jobs, creating opportunities in their communities, the African American community would be one of the most powerful communities in America. There would really be no desire for African Americans to go out and seek employment in corporate America. They would be seeking employment in many of the black-owned business like you see in the Jewish communities. Many of them would live, work, and exist pretty much in those communities because the amount of money that they're putting into the collection plate, you know, and they're saying they're giving it to God. And I'm not even going to get on that topic today because that's another topic for another day. But you're taking money that you either worked for or earned some kind of way, qualified for some kind of way, and then you're giving it to a church, in which very few of these churches are doing anything realistic, anything really to help out the actual community that they live in, the community that they exist in, the community that they supposedly serve. There isn't a lack of money. There isn't a lack of resources. There's a lack of proper use of the resources. I'm telling you, it's like this whole notion of I've wanted somebody to give you something. You know, I don't want anybody to give me anything. You know, when I see these black museums and black Hall of Fame, trust me, I get it. I'm not calling for the destruction of these things or the decommissioning of these things. But I'm just telling you how I see it. Maybe I'm just a person who sees things differently, but I'm pretty confident. There's a lot of ego here, if you don't know already. You know, I can't understand the need for a black football Hall of Fame. I mean, back in the day where there was different leagues, of course, you need a black football Hall of Fame and a white football Hall of Fame. Because without the Black Football Hall of Fame, there'd be no Hall of Fame for the black football players. But in today's world, why do we need a Black Football Hall of Fame? Is that to say, okay, so the black football players, they're not as good, so we got to create a separate Hall of Fame, or we have to maintain a separate Hall of Fame so that they could get recognition? No, I want my recognition from the Hall of Fame because I'm the best of the best. I don't want to be recognized in some Hall of Fame where half the players or some portion of the players aren't qualified. I want my recognition. I want my plaque. I want my bus. I want my yellow jacket from the Hall of Fame. The best of the best play. Everyone's competing there. You know, do I need a black college Hall of Fame? Do I need a black museum? Do I need, you know, a black history? No. If you tell the truth about American history, you will tell the story of black history, white history, you know, every history of every person and creed that came to this country. You don't need Black History Month. Just tell the truth. Oh, they're not telling the truth. Oh, well, you tell the truth. You tell the truth. Tell the truth to every child or to every person you have a conversation with. You don't need to do it in February. Do it every day. I don't need an affirmative action. I can't tell you how many times I get a phone call for an interview. I apply for something, and you can tell right from the onset of the phone call that they're just satisfying that Rooney Rule. We got to interview one minority, and so I'm like, "Hey guys, look, you know, if you guys are just trying to satisfy that Rooney Rule, just interview a black guy or some minority, you know, just so you guys can go ahead and make the hire, I'm not interested. Period." You know, and you never want to go assuming something like that because there's no really way to tell. But sometimes, you know, for sure. And to me, that's the insulting thing. Not that, oh, they wouldn't interview a black person if that rule wasn't there. It's just a waste of time. It's a waste of time. I want a job not because, you know, they have to hire so many these amount, have to hire so many those amount. I heard that was something that was going on in Silicon Valley. That some Silicon Valley CEOs had looked at the amount of individuals that were being hired and said, okay, so many of these individuals are Asian, white, or Indian. And we need to hire more blacks and Hispanics or whatever the heck else. Like, how as a CEO are you running a business and say to yourself, I need to do anything but hire the most qualified person? No, you know, I take that back. Not the most qualified person. The person best for the job. Whether he has the qualifications, the experience or not. I need to hire, find some way of determining who's the best person for this job. And that's who I need to hire. Not like trying to spread it out an equal amount of whites, Arabic, Asians, blacks, and Hispanics, and like, just hire the best person and make yourself the best person. Make yourself an asset beyond something someone has to do. Make yourself someone wants to be a part of their organization. Jesus, have you no ego? And this isn't a bag on black people, you know, or bag on minority or bag on poor people kind of thing. This is a calling to attention of the things that we need to do better. You know, this is a calling to, you know, call to action, if you will. You know, my brother and I, you know, independent filmmakers. And my brother primarily is, the knowledge base when it comes to actually shooting it, and he's a genius at that stuff. But what I do primarily at this point, 9 years later, is I maintain the administrative portion. You know, I'm hiring, casting, meeting, contracting, you know, these sorts of things, setting up locations and things like that. And one of the things that just blows my mind is when we're casting. And I'll back up here. You know, when we started doing this, we started working with a lot of different people, a lot of different kind of people. And we had people on our social media looking and saying and commenting and texting and calling. And they would say, they had the gall to say, man, you guys work with a lot of white people. I mean, you guys are from Atlanta, from the hood sometimes. I mean, well, first of all, just because I went to school with you a couple of years don't mean you know where I'm from and who my friends are, who my family, you know, what my family portrait looks like. But second of all, we work with people who want to work. We work with motivated people. Some of them are black, some of them are white, some of them are all different kinds of people. But let's just face it. When I'm casting and I say, hey, the casting call is at this time, and you're so pretty and important that you show up when you want to and tell me the old traffic, it's Atlanta. It ain't never been any different from horrible traffic. And I don't care what excuse you have. You may have a legitimate reason, but what about the people who, regardless of the same situations you dealt with, showed up on time? And then you show up and you're casting for a role in 950 BC and you got tattoos here and there and here and there. And you say, oh, yeah, you don't want to hire me for it because I got tattoos. Well, yeah, it's just not true to the character. Well, you can just do like makeup on top of it. Oh, so I should spend more money, you know, have some makeup artist, you know, just, you know, have a makeup artist doing body makeup on you because you're worth that extra money versus just hiring someone who doesn't have that. You know, and just total ignorance of the idea of someone else. Someone else's money, someone else's time. You ask them, you say, hey, okay, so you need to show up with this, that, and the third. You know, okay, I don't have any acting classes. Well, this is a job for acting. Okay, well, take these classes. We like you for the role. We don't mind you being a little raw. Take these classes, and you can, you know, if you can take, you know, two or three classes and come in here ready to go, we'll work with you. Well, you want me to spend the money on the classes? Oh, you mean do I want you to invest in yourself? First of all, if you want to be an actor or an actress, you should have done this already. If you are afraid to invest in you, if you see it as pointless and a waste of money to invest in you, why are you asking me to spend money on you? If you can't go spend $300, $400, $500 on yourself, then why are you asking me? With no qualifications, no training, no ability to just, oh, I should just give it to you. And then get you out on set the day of and figure out that you can't deliver. You gotta be kidding me. I'm telling you, you gotta make yourself someone who people want to be a part of their organization. And you gotta be done with the excuses. Be done with it, man. Be done with the excuses. You know, oh man, I'm just real. I'm just keeping it real. You know, first of all, no one even says that anymore. Second of all, when you're going in for a job, let's say you work at Sprint. Sprint is not looking to hire someone to come in and be themself. They're not looking to hire you and come in and be yourself. I want you to be real. Whoever that is, you know, we like it. Go with it. Be yourself. No, they have a uniform, they have a code of conduct, they have a way they want you to speak and greet people. You need to put that uniform on when you're going into a workplace. Going in there, oh, I'm going to be myself. You know what? Oh, so why do you got a problem with me having tattoos here and on my neck, or you got a problem with my hair, you got a problem with my clothes, like I'm just real, and people don't like that. I mean, I don't even know where to start to address that kind of sentiment because it's ignorant. Like, it's not that people don't like it. It's that people selling something is going to try to have someone selling it who's going to appeal to the masses. And if you don't appeal to the masses, then I don't want you providing my service or selling my product or representing my organization, because you're going to represent my organization, represent my product or my service in a manner that only a few select group of individuals are going to perceive it as positive. It's not about you. It's about the business. It's about the corporation. It's about the product and the service. Nobody cares really about you being you. You can be you when you create your own business. You can be you when you go home. You can be you around your friends. But when you go to work for UPS, you put on those brown shorts, that brown shirt. So why aren't you putting on that brown speech? Why aren't you putting on that brown behavior? You're going to have to put on UPS everything to work at UPS. So don't think you're going to come and work for anybody else without putting on their uniform, their personality, and their behavior. I'm telling you, man, you're hurting yourself. And I'm just here to try to tell you. You got to do better. I'm just a madman rambling. You guys got to figure it out. But I'm done for the day. Thanks for listening. You can see more at wordpress.com/ournotions. Until next time, Mario Payne out.